Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the first show on this Sunday of our Ask the Experts weekend. Here we have Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy, and this is a place, of course, you know, that you can get free extensive career advice as well as insight on the latest employment trends from the staffing industry's leading authority, Pete the Job Guy Langlois. And with a resume like Pete's, with over 30 years of experience in staffing, we invite you to join the discussion on workplace controversies with an honest and entertaining filter. Pete, however, is still on vacation down under in Australia, and filling in for him today is Alex Stuckey. Alex, how you doing today?
Happy Sunday, everybody, and welcome to the Hard Worka Show. I am Alex Stuckey, and obviously subbing in for Pete the Job Guy Langlois, who is still on vacation down under. I hope everybody had a fantastic Independence Day this past week and that you all celebrated with your friends and family. Little point of trivia about Independence Day that we celebrate July the 4th. It was actually voted on July the 2nd. And July the 2nd, it was the official day, and 2 days later they ratified it. On the second day of July, John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail and said, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of a devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows and games and sports. Guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, and from this time forward and forevermore." Well, Adam's prediction obviously was off by a few days, but nonetheless, we celebrate our independence from the British colony. And that is the history of July the 4th. So today in the studio, we have a few guests. We have Kumi Royale.
Hello.
And Patricia Knott.
Hi.
Two professional recruiters, and today we're going to celebrate a little levity here in the Hard Worka Show, because every hard worker has to have a good time as well, and so I hope everybody had a good time on July the 4th celebration, and we're going to have a good time here today, and we're going to talk about some funny stories as it comes to recruiting, hiring, going in and interviewing. And maybe on the second half of the hour, we'll talk about some more serious notes about what you should do to prepare so that you don't end up on the Pete Show as part of the levity. So, Kumi, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my. Okay. So, my name is Kumi Royal. I work for Staffing Now, and I have been with S&I companies for almost 3 years. I drew a blank there.
Three years. That's a long time. So at S&I Companies, Staffing Now, what do you do on a daily basis?
So I do both the business development side and the recruiting side.
Okay.
So, you know, not only do we interface with the clients and try to get them to utilize our services, but additionally, I am always on the hunt for new talent for the open positions that we have.
Looking for the hard workers.
Yes, the hard workers, for sure.
So some of these folks obviously go in and do interviews and get hired on. And Patricia, do you do basically the same kind of thing, or you do something a little different?
I do something a little different in the fact where I am more on the what we call candidate side, so on the recruiting end. So I bring people in, interview them, help set up their interviews with companies, and mostly handle that versus business development. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you were talking a little earlier when we talked offline, and you were telling me about some of the folks that you interview, and you bring them in and you talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
And you meet with them.
Yeah, we have to meet everybody before we consider them for any job, of course, because we have to know who they are. And sometimes they get sent out for interviews with the company. Sometimes companies trust us to have them directly start.
Very good. So directly start means you did all the interview, the background check, and then you decided for the company this is the right person.
Yes, because they trust us. We've worked with them, and they know how successful we are at finding the right people for them. So we do everything from finding them, doing the background checks, just like you said, interviewing, and then we just have them go to the company on their first day and get started.
So any time in the past that you've interviewed somebody mm-hmm. and you thought, this is a great person and I'm going to send them out and, I don't know, somebody else showed up?
Well, it's funny you said that because actually, yes. I don't know if you're familiar with the term catfish.
Never heard of it.
So, catfish.
They're good fried.
Yeah. I like catfish too, but not in this case. So, when you get catfished is when you find somebody like online, you see their photo, and then when you meet them in person, they're somebody completely different.
Oh my gosh. So, this is like most real estate professionals I know.
Kind of, right? Well, in
you
this
see
case,
the card or the billboard. Uh-huh. Right, and then they show up, and it's that card and billboard was from 35 years ago.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Exactly. You see somebody's photo online, and you meet them, and you're like, "Wait, was that from the 1970s? I had no idea."
But so you got catfish?
I did, but it was almost like a reverse catfish.
Okay.
Super interesting. I had a person come into the office. I interviewed them. We went over their resume. She was great. She had the experience I was looking for this particular position, which was one of those direct starts where we would send them right to the company to start. So I was really excited. I called her a couple days later to offer her the job. And when this person picked up the phone, very clearly a different person over the phone. Like, I mean, probably.
But did they say that they were that person?
Yes. They were like, oh, yeah, I was in your office the other day. Yeah, the interview went so well. I'm so excited to get started. And I'm like, clearly,
so this is what you always hoped for on like the SAT test, right? Where
yeah.
you didn't want to actually go take the test, so you sent somebody else in
exactly.
to take it for you?
Yeah,
gotcha.
I'm pretty sure that's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to think, okay, how can I like figure out that, because I knew it wasn't the right person, but how can I get this person to admit it? So we went through everything. Okay, so who's your emergency contact? And what were you wearing that day? Because it was only 2 days ago. You have to remember that. And eventually...
What did my office look like?
Exactly. And eventually, with those questions and the answers provided, we it was clear that it wasn't... I wasn't crazy. I was not crazy.
So it's like when I apply for the job as quarterback for the Jaguars, mm-hmm. and I send Blaine Gabbert to go show
and
up.
Then you
he
show
looks
up on
good
the
coming
like,
off the
yeah,
bus,
this is me.
And then I show up for the job. Yes, yep. Yes. I
oh,
you.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be like, see, I was in the other day. Don't you remember meeting me? Right? But so we put a stop to that right away. And we said, yeah, unfortunately, this is not.
Is that a common occurrence or is that a once in a blue moon?
Well, it's never happened to me again.
Wow.
well, for direct start positions, what we do every time is we walk the people that are starting into the office
gotcha.
So that we do know that they are the person that we interviewed and that we're sending, because that would be terrible if that would happen.
Absolutely.
In other cases, they interview with the company, so the company would know them. So I'm glad that we were able to catch this. The person would have been caught anyway before they actually walked in the building, but in this case, we were able to kind of head it off early. So that
crazy,
was good.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. So You hire somebody, you put them in the role, they're working, everything seems to be fine. But then occasionally you have times when those people are not working out that well and some crazy stuff happens on the job. So, Kumi, why don't you tell us about some of those funny things?
We've had some strange ones. One of the occurrences that sticks out the most is that we had a candidate that was on assignment and she had given us a call prior to her arrival and was like, I'm going to be a few minutes late. I was in a car accident and I'm really trying to get there, but I'm going to be a little bit late. I'm like, okay, great. So I reach out to the client and we let them know like, hey, she's going to be a little bit late. I know that you have a strict attendance policy, but she's really shaken up about this. She gets to work and not only does she like kind of, you know, not freak out, but
she's nervous.
She's a little nervous, yeah. And she's like having a conversation with her team leads, and she goes, I was in a fender bender. It was really, really traumatic. Like, it was really bad. I'll be right back. Leave the call center for like 5 minutes, comes back in carrying her bumper.
Oh my gosh.
To show the damage that occurred.
It's like bringing in a doctor's note, right?
Yeah,
see, I really
exactly.
went. I got in this wreck.
Exactly. And she's like, I was in this car accident. You see, this is what happened. This right here. I shouldn't be able to carry this, but I have it. And this
crazy.
Is what happened. And they were like, oddly enough, did not let her go for that reason, but something completely unrelated. But yeah, that was one that did. That
That's
did stand out for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Patricia? Any crazy stories where people were working and they were terminated, or they had a crazy thing or event that happened to them?
It does happen all the time. We actually had a candidate who was working and had called us, and she ended up deciding to leave the company on her own volition because there was another person that she was working with who put a spell on her.
Oh my goodness, a spell.
So that was a little tricky. Yeah, this individual ended up being like a witch or Wiccan.
Practicing Wiccan,
mm-hmm. which is cool, great, that's awesome, but should not be putting spells on other people.
Yeah, don't want to be hexing,
right?
Somebody, bringing in the voodoo doll.
Yeah, do what you want at home, it's all good, but we just need to make sure there's no, he wanted to date her hard, so that was his way of letting her know. Made her a little uncomfortable, so that was a case where he needed a little talking to, but she decided that she was going to leave. So that was a little uncomfortable of a conversation, but these are conversations that need to be had. So, I mean, you never know what you're going to get as far as people working and what they're comfortable with or what could happen. So, yeah.
All right. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
Kumi, anything else?
For some reason, a lot of the stories that I have surround car accidents. I have a lot of accident-prone candidates.
Well, I imagine that flat tires, mm-hmm. passed away grandmothers, mm-hmm. Dog ate your homework.
We've had one person's grandparent died like 3 times.
Same one.
Yep.
Yeah. In the same quarter.
Yep. Yeah. Same grandparent.
Yep.
Like, did you forget that you already told me that this one was gone? Or?
We take notes.
Well, they have paternal, maternal, and then other, right? So you can have that happen.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Very true. Very, very true. But.
So you have another car story you want to share with us?
I do. So I had a candidate that reached out to us, actually, and was like, oh, I'm going to be late. I was in a car accident, had to go to the ER, and was in this car accident with my sister, and my sister was the one that had to go to the ER, but I had to take her there, and so I'm gonna be like really late, like a couple hours late. And I was like, okay, all right, interesting.
Okay.
She ends up reaching out to us via email and saying like, hey, just so you know, here's a picture of the car accident, and luckily, my cousin is going to be fine. Forgot that it was her
sister. The sister. Yeah, I just caught that.
In this car accident with her.
And it was a picture of a car she passed going down the interstate?
No, this was supposedly a picture of her car.
Okay.
That was
and the damage mm-hmm. that had occurred. And so my coworker, she is kind of like a PI on her own accord. Mm. Like, she
we
loves
all have those people that work
with
us.
Job description for us, detective on the side.
We're detectives, but she is a next
stalker.
Level detective.
She
like, she will find anyone at any point in time. So
I know these type of people.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Something like clicks off in her mind and says, that looks super familiar. Let's put this into Google Images.
Mm-hmm.
So we do, and it's the first picture that pops up is something on Google. So I call her out, and I say, hey there, so how's everything going with your family member? And she's like, oh, so my...
Mom.
Literally a different family member. Actually, aunt, I think, is what she went with time around.
Okay.
And goes, my aunt's fine. Mm. But did you get that picture I sent? And I was like, yeah, I got it from you and Google. Crazy, right?
Yeah. It's called a reverse search.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to know.
She goes, and she hung up on me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, cool. Yeah. Guess you're fired, though.
She got cold busted.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Kumi, that was really funny. So any other personal stories you want to share with us about interviewing people?
Personal. I've had some awkward interviews, as most recruiters probably do, but my most awkward was probably when I had a candidate turn our interview basically into like our first date.
Nice.
Which I don't remember swiping left on him on Tinder, but it's
you
cool.
Swiped right, apparently.
I said hard pass, but he did not feel the same way I I don't know. But he essentially, I would redirect my questions. I would say, like, so where do you want to be in 5 years? And he'd, like, take my hand legitimately and, like, give me really intense
where
eye contact.
Where do you want to be in 5 years?
Like, that's too much. And he's like, well, I want to know more about you. Like, what do you want? Is this what you've always wanted to be? Or, I mean, and also, where did you get that dress? Because you look amazing in it. And also, what are you doing after this?
Well,
and
I'm he's like, very I'm complimentary. Working,
dude. Yeah, no, totally, totally complimentary. But, you know.
You, obviously, you wanted to send him straight out to do a job interview with somebody.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely not. I basically.
So these are no-nos in the interview process?
That's a no-no. Ah. I would say no, please don't, like, grab your recruiter's hand or the hiring manager's hand and ask them for coffee later, probably a
bad idea.
It's
not an assumptive date because you got the interview.
Correct.
That's actually way more common than you'd think.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people trying to pick us up on LinkedIn too. Like LinkedIn is strictly a professional website, folks. Do not use LinkedIn for trying to get to know me better personally. Yeah. Sometimes I'll get messages and be like, hey, I love your profile pic on here. Like, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm like, not looking for your expertise. Thanks, buddy. You know, and I'll move on.
So it's not Tinder?
No, Tinder.
It's not Match?
I like Tinder. I swiped, yeah. No, actually, my now husband, we met on Tinder, actually.
So
that's acceptable. He wasn't trying to get a job with me, so that was fine.
That was a super like situation?
Actually, it was. He swiped up for me. And I'll be a Wisniewski tomorrow, which is going to be my new last name. So.
Well, I'm glad today it was not.
Yeah. That's right. So you can find me as Patricia Knott currently, but soon it'll switch over to Wisniewski.
So LinkedIn for all the professional stuff, not for dating.
Absolutely.
Not
Match
dating.
And LinkedIn, not the same.
Yes, use it properly. Make sure everything's updated with what you have, with what your current experience is, and only utilize it for professional purposes only.
Which is funny, too, because, you know, Pete's the expert at all this marketing, and it was funny because when we first met, he said, you know, I looked at your LinkedIn photo, and you need to change it. And I said, really? That's a good picture of me. He goes, there's a difference between a good picture of you and a professional picture
of you.
And so he did. He helped me to redo mine and to go get the proper photo to post up for LinkedIn, not just a smiley personal photo.
Yeah, like those selfie photos in the car seat, probably not the best idea.
With the belt across your chest.
Right, or at the beach with your shirt off. Another not good idea. Probably a suit, tie. Actually, definitely suit or tie. So, something that makes you look like you'd want to work somewhere that somebody would want to hire.
So that's another Pete-ism. He said, make sure you're congruent too, right? So you can't have in your professional life the suit and tie picture and then have your Facebook with big rants on them going off at the companies that you're looking to go to work for.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of the interviewing process now, right? Not only do you look at their professional site, but you're also going in and looking at people's personal sites as well to determine, you know, a little bit more about the person before you actually do the interview.
It's actually great you bring that up because we had somebody who she was great over the phone. It was for actually a recruiting job that we were working for. And this person, she had great experience, very personable, loved her. But her Facebook had some risque photos, a little too much to show. So when she made it to an made it through an interview, and then that company themselves,
rejected you because of that.
Yeah, because of that. So, you know, make them private, make them professional, because we will find out.
And so this is common right now, looking at people's Twitter feeds to see what they're tweeting about, looking at people's Instagram, if you're able to, going through all their social media. And last week we had Ted Willich in here with AI. So this is going to get amazingly more detailed very quickly, right? Because if you're doing it, it takes quite some time to go research all the candidates and as much detailed information as there is out there.
Yeah.
But with AI, it's going to speed this process up dramatically because a machine will be able to go out there and look through everything in seconds.
Love it.
And come back and say, oh, here's some of the things that we found that may or may not be appropriate, but then delivers it to you for your eyes.
Yes, yeah, so helpful. Really cuts down the time so we can get the best people in there as soon as we can.
And that's what it's all about, right? You're finding the absolute best fit, the best candidate for the position.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So with that in mind, when we get into our second segment, we're going to move off of the funny stories and we're going to move more into some more serious things like how to prepare yourself for interviews, mm-hmm. what things you should and shouldn't do, right? And maybe, and obviously, considering it a date is not something you should do.
Definitely
not. That's tip number one.
And so we'll talk about some of those things and we'll help prepare our audience for, you know, the transition into the workforce, right? If you're in a job and you think you want to move up to another job, mm-hmm. or you're changing careers, or right now you're without a job and you're looking for one, I want you to share with them some of your insight and information about what to do, how to prepare. Let's go through some of those interview techniques that you have.
Absolutely.
and really help people to get themselves squared away, both on social media, on professional media like LinkedIn, and when they walk in and present themselves to the potential recruiter or candidate. And then I want you to talk a little bit when we first come back about what is a recruiter and what exactly do you do? I had related in the past about you're kind of like a sports agent, but for regular folks.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So we want to build on that theme and talk about, you know, what do you do as a recruiter to help the candidate to get them in the best position possible for that new position, for that new role? And how do you take the angst off of them, not only just doing the interview, right, and getting
right.
the job, but now having to negotiate the salary, the benefits, and the things that could be a little awkward, right? If
Absolutely.
you're sitting in there interviewing and you're asking for the job, and then you're like, oh, by the way, let me tell you how much my salary requirement is.
Right.
So let's do that when we come back for the break.
Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Erin Mills, and I'm happy to be joining this conversation with you today. But before we get into that, I want to give you your JOB report, the job report. So the unemployment rate is still sitting pretty at 3.8% in the nation. Job seekers are now, this is your time to start printing off those resumes, especially if you're a college grad and you're looking for a job. According to a recent Career Builder survey, 80% of employees are planning to hire recent grads for this year. So employers are looking for grads specializing in these areas, information technology, customer service, and business development. And bringing it back home to the 904, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Jacksonville just had over 120,000 jobs in the office and administrative support occupation positions. So that accounts for about 18% of local area unemployment, employment, and that is significantly higher than the 15.4% shared nationally. And also in Jacksonville, the average hourly wage for the occupational group is $17.12, which is well below the national wage of $18.24. So let's get back to it.
Thanks, Erin, for that job report. And now that we got you in here in the studio, why don't we talk about your experiences with recruiters?
Sure, yeah. You know, what's funny is Kumi actually placed me at all of my jobs right after college. So after college, I went and did a Fulbright for 9 months, and I went to the Philippines. And so when I came back, I was like, how do I work again? What is a resume? I was just out of the country for 9 months. And somehow I applied to something. I think I remember it was like at 11:59 at night. And Kumi calls me the next day and she was like, hey, actually, I just saw your resume and that you submitted at midnight practically.
I did.
Because I was really working hard and I was really trying to get a job. I didn't want to have that big space on my resume from like when I came back from the Philippines to like my next job. So Kumi and I are
great friends.
So what
job was that?
So that Actually, just on the other side of that, how crazy it is, I took it a step creepier. Like I said before, we are detectives. And so when I first saw her resume, I was like, man, this girl looks amazing.
Thank you.
Found her on Facebook. And I was like, she's gorgeous. We're bringing her in. I am going to bug this girl until she answers the phone.
So wait a second.
Now everybody's going
to
Google
you
me.
You do put ugly people like me to work, right?
I'm an equal opportunity employer.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking. And I want to make sure you only put good-looking people to work.
The position that she
so
applied
for. So you stalked
for,
her.
I did. I stalked her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we are going to be best friends. I'm going to bring her in right away. It was for a marketing coordinator position. And to be fair, like, originally they wanted someone with a little bit more experience, and she was fairly green on paper. Mm-hmm. But something told me, I was like, these internships that she's done have been like super impressive. She was like a Fulbright, and that stuck out to me. And I was like, I'm bringing her in. I brought her in. She was so smiley and professional, well dressed, put together. And I was just impressed with her from the minute that she sat down, because she spoke about her experiences very passionately and very articulately, if that's even a word, smarter than me. And she just was very, very impressive, and she got the job right away. I think we even sent you down to meet the hiring manager
that
same day.
Yeah, and I started like the next day.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm ready to start working as soon as possible. I think it was like May 31st, and I was like, I can put on my resume that I worked at May, and I like came back in May, so it would have looked stellar for me.
That's great. So, and then you said you placed her again.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I placed her in because that first position ended up being a contract.
Yeah.
Got you.
And the contract ended. And I placed her in her next role in a direct hire perm position. And that, I mean, was a lengthy process.
Yeah, it was so long.
It
we
was
were
pretty
best
intense.
Friends
yeah.
for like a month. She was calling
me. I called her every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, what you have for breakfast? So I know that you've
what
already interviewed
wearing?
Like six times, but you're going back again and you're going to crush it.
Yeah.
Also, guess what? You get to do a presentation. Awesome.
Oh,
and but she killed it. She did a great job. This PowerPoint, I remember mm-hmm. it. I was like bragging, showing all of the people. I showed Rose, our director.
I love Rose.
Like, look how legit this girl is. She's going to run a marketing department one day.
One day.
And then I stole her for us eventually.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. So so that's how Erin got here, is you brought her here.
I brought her here, yeah.
She just kept...
So you went and stalked her again.
I did stalk her again.
Stole her from somewhere else.
Via social media, I saw that she had had a baby. And I was like, I mean, the baby looks pretty grown right now. I think she probably
3 months old. Come on.
She's probably getting stir crazy. I mean, I don't have any kids, so I don't really know how that works.
Yeah.
But I was like, baby looks like it's about to crawl, so she's probably ready to get out of the house.
Nice.
It was so funny because the process was Kumi calls me and she says, like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, actually, I'm not planning on working for a year. And she was like, well, I think I just really have a great position for you. Just take some time. Hear me out. And I was like, okay, I guess I can try to do that. And in my head, I'm like, I'm like sitting in my chair. I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom and I'm going to live off of my husband. This sounds really bad. But I was like, I'm going to do this. And then I was like, wow. The opportunity to like work again and to like work with Kumi, who I had a great relationship with, and even with Rose, just like so much fun times. It felt like she was a mentor like throughout the entire process. Like she was calling me, she was making sure that like I was dressed properly, which I was, and like.
But that's part of it, right? As a recruiter,
yes,
this is what you do.
Absolutely,
you're a coach.
She was like my mama.
You're a mentor.
Oh, okay. Coach is a better word than mama.
But I did like have some mom moments. I'm like, don't be nervous. They're just people, honey. Get out there and be yourself.
And I would call her at like before and after the interview, and she's like, what did you talk about? Did you talk about this? Remember, they're going to ask you, and like questions that I get caught up on like are, what's your biggest mistake? Because I'm like, what? I'm perfect. Sorry.
Obviously, you didn't answer it that way.
And she would tell me like, all right, so they're going to ask you this question. You should try to use an experience that you have that's listed on your resume and just make sure that you enlist like what was your mistake and what did you learn from it? That's what they're looking for. Is like,
that's
what
exactly
did you learn
right. And it's not just a, yes, I made a mistake and here's what it was. Mm-hmm. It's something that's relatable, right?
Yeah.
It's something
mm-hmm.
that's an experiential thing.
Mm-hmm.
You tell about the experience. You go through what happened, how it happened, and what you did to resolve that matter, right? Because
mm-hmm.
this is the thing that clients are looking for. They're looking for you to share an experience with them, to be a storyteller,
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
be able to explain to them, and so that they can understand that you're a real person, right? You're not just a check the box, fill
yeah.
out the blanks.
Piece of paper.
Not a piece of paper, right? And that you're going to be able to be relatable once you come to work.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to come in there, fill in, and they're going to know if you do make a mistake, you're going to be able to resolve that issue,
mm-hmm.
right? Or if somebody else makes a mistake, that you're going to
yeah.
be able to forgive them and move forward from it. And so, you know, Patricia, tell us some of the things that you do to help coach folks along during the process. How do you help them to prepare themselves for, let's say, that very first interview? You bring them into you first, right? You bring
yeah.
them in, and you kind of simulate an interview? Is that how you do it?
So when I bring somebody in for an interview, I see if not only they're a right fit for the company, but that the company's the right fit for them, because nobody's going to be happy working at a company that they don't feel great at or want to work at too. So it's really a matchmaking service.
Culturally, you're saying, not just position, because you know you can look at the resume and
yeah.
see A, B, C, D, and they fit all the
right.
boxes, but you got to make sure that culturally and that they're going to be a fit.
Yeah, because sometimes somebody will come in and they're more comfortable in a mom and pop type of environment when there's only seven people in the office, and they feel very comfortable because it's very small, family oriented. Other people love the white collar, big corporate, like hustle and bustle, because that's just part of their personality.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is to really figure out who they are, what's going to make them happy, because if somebody's not happy, they're not going to stay. So I invest a lot in that person.
It's funny you say that, because we had in the industry, we use the term fall off, and some of the people out there may not know what that is, but that's when you send a person out for a full-time direct start position and they go to
right.
work out there and they don't last very long, or they fall off, and so we have to replace
exactly.
them. And so we had this happen at this particular client 3 times in a matter of a month.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh wow, this is crazy. What's going
right.
on? So I called down to the manager of the office and I said, you had this same position at the same client fall off 3 times in a month. How is that possible? Have you been out to the place? And they're like, well, no, I haven't.
Oh, there you go.
And I said, well, maybe go make a site visit and take a look. And she called me back next day and said, went out there, it's pet friendly. And I said, okay, well, what's wrong with that? And she goes, it's very pet friendly. I'm like, explain. And she's like, well, there's cats on people's desks.
God.
There's dogs
Get
underneath
out.
The desk. The back door has a pet door so that the dogs and cats can run in and out. There were birds flying around
yeah.
the office. I'm like,
oh
my
down.
Gosh,
there,
are you kidding
There
me?
Might be the right person for that place.
Well, that's exactly
that
right. So what
out.
Happened is, now that she knew that, when she interviewed people, she said, how do you feel about pets in the workplace?
Right.
And somebody said, that would be awesome. I can bring my pet to the workplace. And they did. They brought him in and stuck.
And they stuck.
Right?
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
So I understand completely what you're talking about when you're saying it has to be the right fit, right?
Yeah.
So so with that in mind, why don't you talk to the audience a little bit and tell them, you know, give them some tips. They come in and they interview with you, and what kind of tips or guidance would you give them if you did find that perfect cultural place for them and they're going in for their first interview with that company?
So what's really important for them to do is I try to provide as much information about the company and about the job description, and they need to do their homework. Everybody's got to do their homework. I can't do it for them. So
when you say homework, tell us about that.
So when I mean homework, it's more like going to the website of the company, figuring out information about the company. Who's the president? How long has the company been,
What's
here?
Their mission
yeah,
statement?
Exactly. And then not only that, but the expectations of the job, knowing how are you going to sell yourself to that company, because hey, you know, not everybody's in sales, but when you're looking for a job, you're in sales.
Gotcha.
Let's be real. So you have to be able to identify with that what you're going for and how to market yourself. So doing that homework, quote unquote, research on the company is very important.
So they gather all that information and then they bring it back to you. And then what do? You help coach them to when to use that, right? They don't come in there and just start spouting off about everything they learned about the company,
no,
right?
No, exactly. So we would give tips on what to mention or what questions to ask. A little bit of a mock interview. Like, so what would you, like, what are some questions that you've thought of to ask the company afterwards? Because when a company interviews you, a lot of times at the end they'll say, so do you have any questions for us? Your answer should always be, yes, here are a few.
Instead
of,
I'm good.
I'm good, you know, and because they want to know that you're invested and that you've thought about it, you know, thoughtfully. So I like to ask them, what would you ask them? I actually had one person say, oh, well, I went online and noticed that you had a couple of bad reviews. What are some things that you as a company are going to do to improve your reviews online? I said, that is not a question you should be asking.
That is not a question.
So I'm so glad that I asked you what you're going to ask them. So that it's important for us to know what they're going in. I don't want anybody going rogue, you know, and asking some crazy things. So making sure you are asking relevant questions and things that are going to impress the
things
the,
that are positive.
Yeah. Oh, that's huge too. Thank you for mentioning that. Being positive, not speaking negatively about your previous employer is huge. So
yeah, that seems to be a common theme that we hear every day, right? Is they come in for the interview and for some ungodly reason they believe that if I bash the last person I worked for, my prior manager or prior company, this is going to make me look really good in front of my new prospective employer.
Not
the wrong way to think, for sure.
But this happens every day, right?
It does. It happens very often, and I always find myself having to have that discussion with the candidate and say, like,
and retrain
hey,
them.
Yeah, like, do not talk negatively about your previous employers. If they pry and continue asking you the same question over and over about why you left a position, you just give them a blanket statement. Mm-hmm. Not the right fit, moving forward with something else.
Yeah,
that's a better
new
fit.
Opportunity, new looking for ability to grow.
Exactly. That's what I always go for, too, is that if it's starting to go in that direction, the right thing to do is always say not what wasn't good, but what you're looking for.
That's right.
Versus what you're not looking for.
Exactly.
So, you know, why didn't you go? Why did you leave this? Well, because I'm looking for a larger company with more opportunities. So you're keeping it in a positive tone. And it's, you know, oh, do you have experience in this? Oh, I'm familiar with that, and I can do this and this and this as well. So you can always take something and say things that you have done versus things that you have not.
So folks go out and they interview, and while they're interviewing, the prospective client thinks, this is the exact person I want. This is great. And I'm going to make an offer to them. And so they do. They say, hey, I'm going to offer you this position, and here's the pay, and here's the benefits. I'm sure that you guys coach them to say, appreciate that, need you to get back with my recruiter and discuss that with them, right? Because now it takes that whole awkwardness of having to negotiate your salary out of that situation, right? It makes them more comfortable. Would one of y'all like to talk about that, or both of you?
Definitely. I mean, I always actually advise the candidates never to discuss money in an interview. And also, I always let them know, like, that's what I'm here for.
That's right.
You don't ever have to talk about money. Yeah. That's my job.
Yeah. A lot of people are worried about either underestimating or overestimating themselves, which I think a lot of people can't identify with. So you don't want to put yourself out of the game by requesting too high or not, you know, giving yourself enough credit and requesting too low.
And so, as a professional recruiter, right, the two of you and your whole team across the country, as professional recruiters, you do this every single day.
Yes,
and
we do.
So, and you have salary guides, and you have how much that position is worth, and so you're intimately familiar with the value of the position.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think that what one of the things that we're able to do is we would not have them go to that interview or be put in that process without them already
in the range,
knowing the
right.
ballpark of what the position is offering. Yeah. And so
and so as part of that too, you're able to talk to the client on a very very intellectual basis about their offer. They make you an offer and it's in range, then great. You can deal with that and just go to the benefits. Or if it's out of range, you're able to say, well, let me send you over some information about that. You know, we talked about this in the past, and this is kind of the range, and here's where we're at. And it doesn't put that candidate in that uncomfortable position.
Right. Well, even before the person goes to interview, we already let the company know as well, like, this is what this person's targeting. You know, this is realistically their range. We know what your range is. Does it logistically fit? So, we wouldn't send anybody who was too high or too low and wouldn't be realistic.
Gotcha. And so by doing that, tell me about the next part of the process. They go there, they interview, they call you back, and they say, oh, we want Janie. You know, she's going to be great. And then what happens?
So after the person goes in the interview, just like Erin said earlier, with her communication with Kumi, communication's key, we would follow up with the person right after the interview and say, how did it go? If they offered you the job, would you accept? So that we can go right to the company and say, hey, so-and-so loved their interview. This is what they liked about it. Here's a thank you note from them. Also very key, too. They said that if they got offered the position, they would accept. What do you think? So that's kind of the conversation we have.
And so you're, again, acting as that agent in between the client, the company, and the candidate.
Yes. So it's like a liaison type position. Being a recruiter, I love it because we are of a service to people. This is a free service. We're there as an extension of you looking for a job, or you're going online and you're looking, I can be doing the same thing for you.
Well, that's something you just said. I didn't think about this, that the audience may not know that the candidate, this is free to them. This service is free.
Yeah.
And the client pays your fee.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. And it doesn't impact their salary. They don't go, oh, well, I've got to pay this fee to the agency, so I'm going to have to reduce your salary by that amount.
That's right. So we've had people ask us, and I said, if that ever happens and a company calls you and they're charging you for their services of recruiting, run. Hang up the phone. Do not work with them because that is not right. Should never happen.
So do y'all go out to universities or places like that or do job fairs?
Yes.
We do. We like to stay very active within the community. We have a great relationship with UNF. Mm-hmm. Been out to Flagler College quite a few times.
Jack's Chamber.
Mm-hmm. And very involved with the Jack's Chamber. I think we have a relationship with JU as well. So, the career fairs and relationships that we've built with the universities locally have been extremely helpful in finding
We actually
talent
have
for the
one coming up.
That we have.
Oh, really?
Month.
Tell
yeah.
us about that. When is it?
It's July 14th. It's on a Saturday. So, all of you who are working and looking, this is a great time for you to go so you do not have to take PTO. We will be at the Church of 1122. Saturday the 14th.
That's on Beach Boulevard?
On Beach Boulevard, that location, from 11 to 2.
Very good.
July
the 14th, Church of 1122, what time?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Until
when?
2 o'clock.
Until 2 o'clock. So lastly, and then we'll wrap this up, one of the things that I thought was interesting is most people don't understand what the recruiting industry is all about, and that's why I know Pete, the job guy, wanted to put this show out there is to educate everybody, and that is, and it's funny because I was at Game 7 of the World Series, and a couple of the gentlemen that I was sitting with, recent college grads, had talked to me about their interview process that they had just gotten a job as an engineer, and I said, oh, that's pretty cool. How'd you find that job? And they said, well, we were at our college at the job fair, and I said, oh, did you see any recruiting companies there? And they're like, yeah. But I don't want to be a recruiter. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, I didn't want to be a recruiter, so I didn't even go see them. I said, so you don't know what they were there for? I'm sure they were looking for recruiters. I'm like, no, they're looking there to be an agent to help you find your job.
That's right.
And they had no idea. So I think this is a great idea that Pete came up with to help educate the public about what recruiters really do. You guys did a fantastic job. Patricia, I really appreciate you. Kumi, thank you so much for being here. And as always, Erin Mills, I really appreciate you being here and sharing your story with us because that's fantastic. For those of you out there in the audience, reach out to Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com or on his phone number at 904-713-2550. Thank you again and happy Sunday.